Well, as I look over this group this morning, I am very humbled. I see a beautiful group of people as I look at everyone here. And you know why? You're all beautiful? Because you are created in the image of God. And our sermon text this morning will be in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And our topic this morning will be in the image of God and human worth. So let us read Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Fallen though we are, or man is, we are still deemed by the Almighty to be of inestimable worth. Every single one of you. So I don't want you to forget this morning, and I want you to please stay focused on in the image of God and human worth, because you are very valuable to the Lord God, each and every one of you. You're precious. Though incapable of saving himself, man, as creature, represents God's highest and best, made in his image and intended for his glory. You see, having created man in his image, God has invested unmeasurable worth in each being, every one of you. His quest for the redemption of sinful fallen man is evidence, not only of God's love, but of his wisdom in working to retrieve that which is of infinite value to him. So this morning, I pray and I hope, as this message spoke to me, I pray that it speaks to you, because God's word is powerful and it cuts right through the heart. I pray that we may learn how personal worth may be learned and recovered on God's terms, not ours. So this morning, we're going to go over 6 points about our human worth being made in the image of God. So point number one, we're going to talk about man's intrinsic value. And we're going to read in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The nature in which man was created and his position in creation shows his intrinsic worth, calling forth accountability and responsibility. This point here that I'm going to go through is really phenomenal. It's awesome. God is awesome. The divine triune council, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they came together before man was even created. They came together and determined that man was to have God's image and likeness. That is really, think about that for a minute. And man is distinct from the rest of creation. You are. Man is distinct from all of creation, from the rest of creation. He is. In Job 32:8, it states, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." God breathed that into men. Man is a spiritual being who is not only body, but also soul and spirit. He is a moral being whose intelligence, perception, and self-determination far exceed that of any other earthly being. Ladies and gentlemen, these properties or traits possessed by mankind and his prominence in the order of creation imply the intrinsic worth not only of the family of mankind, but also of each human individual. So let us look at point two. Man's dominion over creation. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 8, 4 through 8. And again, we're talking about being created in the image and human worth. I don't want us to lose that focus. Verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Verse 7, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. So not only was man, again, here we go, not only was man intrinsically distinct from the rest of creation, he was given authority over the earth and everything upon it. Man was made to rule. Man was made to rule. And as if we, when we look in verse 6, let's read that together. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Our ability to exercise authority over the earth is dependent on our willingness to submit to, serve, and obey the living God who holds authority over us. That's it. Our authority over the earth makes us accountable for the earth. Do not abuse that authority. And believe it or not, you are each giving a lot of authority in your life. You really have. God has given that to you. And I speak to men in one sense, because we cannot abuse authority. We cannot. It's been blessed to you. It cannot be abused. God has given us these tremendous resources. He's given us water, air, minerals, species of animals, life beneath the sea and upon the earth. These should all be the concern of every individual and every government. So let us ask ourselves this. Can we allow to pass from the earth forms of life which the Creator has placed here and committed to our care? Do we dare to even pollute and corrupt God's creation? Sadly, we see that going on now in our earth. It's sad. Luke 12:48. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. Know this, my friends, that those of you that have the greatest knowledge of the truth will be held accountable for the greatest fruitfulness in your life. We will be. Let us look at point three. Man's critical role in the affairs of the earth. Genesis 3:17. Let's look at that verse together. Again, human worth. We're going to see how critical man's role in the affairs of the earth. We're going to see how this started. Genesis 3:17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Our ability to fulfill our responsibility over the earth is dependent on our willingness to submit and serve the living God. Our obedience to God is first and foremost. Again, from the perspective of man's strategic role, we must assume him to be more valuable than anything on earth. No other form of earthly life plays such a cosmic role as mankind. The world literally stands or falls based on the actions of men. It does. We can see it where it started. Can we not see what is going on today in the world? Only man has the power to deplete the earth's resources and to pollute its atmosphere. And let's look at this for a minute. The sin of one man, Adam, corrupted the world. The continued sinfulness of mankind caused the flood. Let us look at Genesis 6:12-13. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." In contrast to the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, he brought justification and righteousness to many. Romans 5:18-19 says, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." If redeemed men were to walk in that justification and righteousness, could that not cause the world to bloom and blossom? Really? God wants to reveal his truth and beauty to the world, but only through redeemed mankind. That's it. Each believer, each of you, has a strategic significance in his own sphere. The world that you live in, you have a strategic importance in that, in how you conduct your life. He or she, you and I, must strive to maximize the impact of the good and encourage others to do the same. As we open with this next point, point four, this is a very critical point. It's critical to man's eternity and future, and the future of man. After all, God had blessed us with created us in his image. He has blessed us with everything on this earth, upon it, in which we stand on, in which we walk, and what we do. He's given us all of it, everything. But what happened? After all of this, sin came upon man, and it separated us from God. So what's God looking at here? He's saying, man, what is man's greatest need at this point? Salvation. Man's greatest need is for salvation at this point. It's critical. God has to redeem now what he had created and what he loves so much. It had been lost through sin. And it was a big price that he had to pay for this. Let us read 1 Peter 1:18-19. This is very humbling. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, blemish and without spot. Our worth is not measured in terms of monetary value, but by what our Heavenly Father has done on our behalf. The price of Christ's death reveals the value of the human personality and the importance of salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Let us look at point five. All believers are members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. All Christian brothers and sisters, everyone here, are needed. You're all needed. And all contribute to the well-being of the body. Every single one of you. It's critical. Let's look at the human body for a minute. It's really interesting when you look at this part of this point. The human body is an exquisite organism. Scientists can't duplicate it. Or they can't even fully understand it. They think they do, but they really don't. It is a synthesis of many parts, all working together in a comprehensive whole. What affects one part of the body relates to and depends upon other parts of the body. Each contributes to the welfare of the entire body. So are all believers as members of the body of Christ. We should function in Christ's body as the parts of the human body function in it. Think about this, and it's not a pleasant thought, but the amputation of a limb handicaps the entire body, does it not? It would. There is no Christian brother whom we do not need. Everyone is needed. The word body means to heal, preserve, to be made whole. This clearly shows how our lives are inextricably woven together with the body of Christ and how well-being depends upon the well-being of others. Romans 14:7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Let us allow Jesus Christ to knit us together in his church. Let us look here at point six. Love, the testing of discipleship. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That Christ would command us to love indicates that love is not just a feeling or a preference. It's what one does and how he relates to a decision or a commitment or a way of behaving. It's critical. Jesus states that the world will know that we are his disciples if we behave lovingly toward one another. You know, there'll be disputes, unkind criticisms, defamation of character. Those are contrary to the spirit of Christ. His love was a sacrificial love. It was unconditional love. His love is constant and self-sustaining. His love provides for the best interests of the beloved, and he commands that we should love one another as he has loved us.
Amen.
Matthew 25:37-40. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, least of these my brethren, who did it to me. Amen. Amen. Whenever you give or plant seeds of faith, you are doing it for Jesus. The person we feed becomes as Jesus to us. The person we visit in prison or in the hospital becomes as Jesus to us. How may we know our Lord Jesus Christ? We know him in doing his works and in doing them as much to him as for him. We know him in putting our arms around those who are desperate or alone. He said that when we do this, we are putting our arms around him, Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Although our giving is to take on very real and tangible forms as we reach out to people, giving to individuals, churches, ministries to meet great needs locally, around the world, the focus of our faith is to be on Jesus and Jesus Christ alone because of what he has done for us. He is God and he is our source. He is the object of our worship and our love. He alone is worthy of our lives, and he alone can supply our needs. We give to others, but let us keep our vision clear, brothers and sisters. We must look past them with our faith directed on God and offered as a service of love for him, for our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we close out this message this morning, I'd like to read from Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well, because we were created in the image of God and found of inestimable worth to him. We are so valuable to him. We should strive to be the best we can be and to reach the highest levels we can reach because of what he has done for us. And all for the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your tremendous love to us, that before we were even created, you came together, the triune council came together and said that you wanted to create us in the image of you. We thank you for the tremendous worth and value, Lord, that you've placed on every single one of us. Our worth is not measured in monetary value, but by what you did for us. What you did on our behalf. That is through the death of your only Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Father, that is the price that you paid to rescue us from our sin. You redeemed us. It shows your tremendous love for us and our worth to you. Sometimes we get down on ourselves and we say, we can go through different times of really putting ourselves down. We need to stop that. Stop it. Say that we are worth so much to you, Lord, and we thank you for that. Help us in our lives to be an ongoing expression of gratitude. For you, O Lord, are the one whose worth is beyond measure. And we lift this whole time up to you now in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we will now give ourselves show the sign of peace, followed by the communion message. Amen.
Thank you.